to see everybody here this morning. We just welcome you to Family Church for the very first service of 2026. Amen. You know, boy, it seems like yesterday when we were getting ready for the 2020s to begin, and we were calling it the Roaring 20s. Well, I think that has been true, all right? There's a lot going on in the world. But you know what? God is on the throne. His word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. We don't have to worry about the tests and trials that may come. It's an open book test. And we're just glad to report that he's a promise keeper. He is a life giver. He is the one true living God, and he's got a plan for each and every one of us, and he's got a plan for us as a church family. Amen. It's not that what we do as individuals that makes the difference. It's what we do together. Amen. That God is really looking for. And so we just say this, 2026 is going to be the best year yet. We're not sitting around, concerned or worried about what's going on in the world. We know this, that the word of God is for us, is more than enough. Amen. We welcome those that are visiting Family Church here today. If that's you, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. We welcome you here. We know you're not here by coincidence or something like that. God's got a plan for your life, and we want to get you connected to it. And we're just so honored to have you. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor. We welcome you. Church, we have a wonderful opportunity to show our visiting guests that this is a warm and welcoming church. It's not just because we're about to clap for them or something like that, but because we go out, we get people's names, we let them know how glad we are to see them, amen? It's a friendly church, and I don't mean to use a cliche thing, but so many times, at least at first, people don't care what you know? They don't care about what you know. They wanna know that you care, right? And so we need to show that and really mean it. Amen. Church, let's go ahead and welcome those that are visiting Family Church here today. So glad to have you. And we're just so honored that you could be here. We know that, everyone's coming off the very busy holiday season. There's a temptation to be dragging or whatever. Folks, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of spiritual pressure right now in the earth. There's a lot of things happening that don't make sense. A lot of, things that people do that don't make sense or, puts pressure on you. I'm here to tell you, when you walk into the house of God, go ahead and just let that go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word of God here today? Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go on over there to Genesis chapter 12. And today I'm going to call this message drama-free living. Drama-free living. Is there anybody here today that you'd like a little drama-free living? Now, that doesn't mean that drama won't attempt to come to you or try to come to you. But, of course, we want to make sure that we're drama-free. How many of you know we've got to be drama-free on the inside before we're ever going to be drama-free on the outside? And we've got to make a decision ahead of time that just says, I'm not going to put up with drama. How many of you know your house should be a drama-free zone? Your church should be a drama-free zone. Boy, even more importantly, before all of that, your brain should be a drama-free zone. Because if you're thinking and dwelling on drama, it's not too long before all that's going to spew out and hurt your life and so on. And remember, we've been saying this well over a year. It comes from a message that I preached a while back. Remember, Jesus said, beware of five things in the last days, right? Right? Number one, don't be deceived. Two, don't be troubled. Now, he didn't say you can prevent all troubles from happening to you, but troubled is what's going on the inside. It's not the troubles that we face in this life that are going to make all the difference. It's that, are you going to let those troubles in? Are you going to be troubled in mind, in heart? Because a troubled heart is an unbelieving heart. A troubled heart is someone who's not going to hear God's voice correctly. A troubled heart is someone that the enemy's going to take advantage of, right? So he said, number one, don't be deceived in the last days. Two, don't be troubled. Three, don't be offended. Boy, I'll tell you what, we just got to keep repeating these things. There's going to be so many opportunities. People are going to do things that you don't get and understand. People are going to take offenses for no reason. People are going to try to separate from you. All these things that are going on, don't get offended, right? Four, don't betray one another. he said. Don't betray your brothers and sisters. And five, don't let the love of the things of God grow cold, right? I'll tell you, we just keep repeating those things because as the Lord had instructed this church, you know, to start declaring those things a long time ago, boy, you know, it makes a lot of sense, right? Number one, don't be deceived. Number two, don't be troubled. Three, don't get offended. Four, don't betray one another. Five, don't let your love for the things of God grow cold. Jesus gave us all that warning. You can read all about it in Matthew 24 or Luke chapter 21. Amen. And today we're going to talk about drama-free living, and we're going to pick up another story with our faithful man, Abraham. All right? We've been talking a lot about Abraham lately, and we're going to catch you up with the story. Go over there to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. And how many of you know that when you study the Bible, especially the New Testament, you find out that God wants us to imitate the life of Abraham? You know, and it's really amazing that he would choose a man from 4,000 years ago to be the example of faith that we walk in the New Testament. That God started this covenant and this promise with Abraham all those years ago because Abraham was a man God could use, a man that was a great example, and God always wanted us to live by faith. And Abraham was the first greatest example of how to live by faith. Even under the law of Moses, it says the just shall live by faith. And now in the New Testament, it tells us we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so Abraham is the ultimate example for us, even here in the days that you and I live in. And just for those that are visiting, or maybe you haven't been with us for a little while, we'll just kind of catch you up on the story of Abraham. Starting in Genesis chapter 12, we're not going to go to every verse here. We don't have the time for that. But in the first few verses of Genesis 12, we see that God approaches Abraham for the first time. Now remember, initially his name was Abram. So if you see Abram in the verses here today, please know that Abram and Abraham are the same guy, all right? So God approached Abraham and he said, hey, you and your wife and your nephew Lot, he says, go ahead and get out of this country, out of your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. And he said, I will, you know, bless you and I will make your name great. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you, Abraham, because Abraham was the beginning of the bloodline that would eventually bring Jesus Christ into this earth so that you and I could have our sins washed by his blood. And God made this promise to Abraham, and he said, go ahead and leave and go and find the country that I have for you. And at the time, Abraham was 75, his wife was 65, they had no child, and yet God said to Abraham, I'm going to make your descendants like so innumerable, they'll be like the stars in the sky. You will not be able to count them all. And now, through faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, Galatians 3:29, that if you are Christ, you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. So if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you are now a descendant of Abraham, right? Amen. Praise God. And that's why over these last 2,000 years, there has been more Christians on this earth than any one man could ever count. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God has been faithful. He fulfilled that promise. And now we're going to pick up the story in Genesis 12:7. This is when Abraham has left his father's house. He went and found the land that God showed him, and the Lord is going to appear to him and say, this is where I want you to be, all right? So go to verse 7, and we're going to start tying this in to drama-free living, all right? Because I'm just going to end the suspense right now. Drama is going to tempt every single human being in this room. Drama is going to try to tempt you and seduce you off the plan of God for your life. Drama is coming to try to bring you to very low places. And it all starts with drama. And I'm going to end the suspense. I thought I was going to talk about this at the end of the sermon. I'm just going to tell you right off the top. These lessons that we're going to learn today are lessons of destination. meaning where are you and I going to end up? Where are we going? Where is God taking us? Where do we make sure that years from now, if the Lord tarries, that we are in the exact right place that God has for us? And I'm here to tell you, if the starting point is off or wrong, your destination will be wrong. It matters how we're walking today, because the destination 10 years from now will be affected by what we choose to walk in. Meaning, if you're offended at somebody right now and you're making decisions based on that, your destination will not be correct. If you're offended, if you're a person who's strifing and fighting and full of drama, your destination, you are never going to arrive where God wants you to be. If you're someone that's a person of division, if you're somebody that's, you know, causing, you know, kicking up problems and, you know, always trying to, you know, fight with somebody or whatever, God cannot get you to the place he has for you. Are you here today? Well, praise the Lord. Look at Genesis 12:7. So now it says this, and the Lord appeared to Abraham. Now, see, isn't it amazing? Jesus is right there in the Old Testament. You say, well, where? It doesn't say Jesus. It says the Lord. And so many times when we see the appearance of the Lord in the Old Testament, we forget that that's actually Jesus himself. That is the Lord, all right? And it says, he appeared to Abraham and said, this is the words of the Lord to Abraham. He says, unto your seed will I give this land. And it says, and there Abraham built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So the first thing that Abraham does in this new place, he gets to the place where God has for him, and he builds an altar and starts to worship. He starts to fellowship. He starts to seek God. Why? Because maybe you're going to have the first thing. You're going to have the first instruction for God. But how many of you know you're going to need the second step? You're going to need to know what he wants you to do after that. You got to go and find the altar. You got to hear God's voice. Because you're going to see here in just a few moments, things are going to take a turn. And the question is, what are you going to do when circumstances look bad and you have an opportunity to choose something good, but it goes against what God already told you to do? The plan is not to just chase good things. The plan is to hear God's voice and to follow him, regardless of how inconvenient it might be, regardless of how uncomfortable it might be. And you're going to see that Abraham even makes a mistake in this. Watch this. Let's read now through a few verses. Verse 8, and it says, and he, Abraham, removed from there. He went to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, and having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still towards the south of the land that God had showed him to be. And so now Abraham finds the place he's supposed to be. He hears from God. He hears the voice. He starts worshiping, fellowshipping, you know, dedicating his life to the Lord, devoting himself, being loyal, being faithful. And, you know, I tell you what, it just seems like, man, if you're in the place that God put you, everything just is always going to look just pretty and beautiful. You know, everything, if God led you to a place, if he put you somewhere, oh, then it would never be challenged, right? It would never look bad ever. Everything is always just going to feel just perfect, isn't it? Am I being a little facetious here today? Look at the very next verse in verse 10. Look what it says. And there was a famine in that land. Wait a minute. He goes right to where God has him. He's doing everything right. He's hearing the voice of God. He found the place. And now the first thing that happens was a challenge. You can say it this way. Here comes the attack. Folks, let me ask you a couple questions, you know, for you to consider. Have you found, and I'm not just talking about your church. I'm talking, there's a lot of aspects to this truth. Have you found the place that God wants you to be? Are you in the right relationships that he's called you to be? You know, are you staying faithful and loyal to your spouse? Are you being faithful and loyal to your employer? Are you faithful and loyal to your local church? Are you faithful and loyal to your family and to your kids and to your extended family and all these people that God has called us to honor and respect? How many of you know God has a place for every single believer? The Bible says that he sets the members in the body of Christ as it pleases him. And the goal isn't just to find the place that looks like the most opportunity. You know, the goal isn't to find the place that seems to, you know, produce the most money or the most notoriety or the chances to be noticed. The goal is to hear his voice regardless of what it looks like in this life. Abraham didn't build an altar so God would tell him everything he wanted to hear. He built an altar to make sure that he knew the difference between something that looked good and something that was God. Are you here? Because watch what happens. He's in the right place doing the right thing, and now financial crisis comes to him. You can be in the right place seeking God with all your heart, and of course it's going to be attacked. You know, the question number one is, are you in the place that God called you to be? Who cares what goes on then in the circumstances? And then the second question is, have you built an altar, so to speak? What's the altar like in your home? What's your fellowship with God like? What's your faithfulness like? You know, what is your determination in your walk with the Lord? Amen. And I'm telling you, it's a good time of year right now just to make sure that 2026 doesn't fall behind. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, it says there was a famine in the land, and now watch the rest of the verse. Abraham went down into Egypt to live there. Problem. What is that problem? Why is that a problem right there? The Lord had appeared to him and said, "This is the land I want you to live in." But as soon as the financial pressure came, Abraham did what everyone else does when they go through pressure. They go out just to seek the comfort or try to ease the problem that they're facing. Folks, you're going to see this was not God's plan for Abraham. Folks, here's what you need to know, and this is just kind of the preliminary sermon. Are you ready? When you get faithful, when you sell out to God, don't be so surprised when something immediately tries to come and disrupt you out of the place you're supposed to be. The enemy, even natural circumstances, are always working to try to keep you out of God's plan. You could say it this way. He built an altar where God wanted him to be, and now the first thing that happened is something comes and tries to drag him away from the altar. For Abraham, it was a bad economy could drag him away. Ask yourself this question, what things in your life can drag you away from the altar that God has called you to be at? To drag you out of the places where the relationships that God has established for you. Are you here today? See, Abraham made a mistake and he left for Egypt. You know why everyone went to Egypt in those days in the time of famine? Because there was something down there called the Nile River Valley. And the Nile River Valley was always lush and green, and it was always well watered, you know, despite what was going on in the rest of the region. And so people would just, you know, everyone said, well, there's a famine in the land. Let's get up and go. See, you know, Abraham made the mistake like so many of us make these days. We start to, you know, Abraham just went and did what everyone else was doing. He was just following the crowd, right? Praise the Lord. Our youth camp, right? Remember the motto this past year, follow the word, not the herd, right? Don't do what everybody else is doing. See, Egypt looked a lot more prosperous than where God had planted him. So what are you going to do when circumstances or opportunity looks good over there, but God's voice said, be there or be here, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. The goal is not to find, you know, the most prosperous way, you know, so to speak. Because the most prosperous way is to hear God's voice and to obey him. See, remember what the Lord had said to Abraham when he appeared? He said, I want you in this land for you and all of your descendants after you. God was talking to him about future generations. And Abraham almost allowed an immediate short-term need to disqualify what God was going to do in all the other generations. Yeah. Folks, God is not beyond leading you into a place that might feel uncomfortable for a little while because he's not just thinking about you. He's thinking about your kids, your grandkids. He's thinking about souls in your community. Are you here? So what's the point I'm making here? Seek the voice of God. Seek the plan of God, not just the comfort or the convenience of this life. Are you here? It is going to make a huge difference in where you end up, the destination, the places that God has for you to arrive at. It's going to be determined on, will you follow God's plan or are you going to follow circumstances? See, Egypt was talking to Abraham, so to speak. Hey, come over here. It's way more prosperous over here. Everything's better over here. But the goal isn't to look for something good. The goal is to look for the voice of God. We said this last week. We're not chasing happiness in this life. We're chasing holiness in this life. Woo, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, man, people watching by live stream today, they're not going to realize what a nice packed church we have because everyone's being nice and quiet here today. You know, everyone's still reeling from Christmas and New Year's. Get a hold of this, everybody. It'll change your life. I am not running around trying to just get happiness out of everything. I want to hear God's voice. I'm not chasing what's good or what looks better. I'm here to chase what God's plan is. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's keep on reading. It says in verse 11, and it came to pass when he was come near unto Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife, behold, now I know that you're a beautiful woman to look upon. And we better just condense this story. Remember what happens now because he leaves and goes to Egypt? What happened to Abraham? He almost lost it all. Pharaoh got a look at his wife, Sarah, and Abraham concocted this story that said, hey, tell everybody you're just my sister. Remember that? And Pharaoh then took his wife, took Sarah, took her into his harem, and now, you know, the plan of God was almost completely destroyed. Sarah was the one that God said would carry the child of promise and continue the bloodline, but that's going to destroy God's plan if Sarah is now Pharaoh's wife. And of course, he goes down there and everything almost gets totally destroyed. You know, Abraham looks like he lost his wife. And God had to start, you know, plaguing Pharaoh in order to wake him up to realize that he took Abraham's wife, not his sister, in the mercy of God. And so they leave that place. They get out of Egypt and now go to Genesis 13, 1. Folks, it matters. Egypt was not the destination for Abraham. All right. Now you're going to ask yourself, Pastor, what does this have to do with drama? You're going to see. You're going to see. And so Abraham went up out of Egypt. He left Egypt. He was never supposed to be there. He was never supposed to be there. Folks, if we choose for ourselves in this life, we're going to find ourselves in places that God never chose for us. That is when the enemy can hurt you, destroy you, ruin your life. So many of God's people are not where they're supposed to be. Just like a body part in your body, if it's not in its proper place, it can create a lot of problems, right? And Abraham went up out of Egypt where he was never supposed to be. Abraham came to himself and realized, oh my goodness, I got to get out of here. And he and his wife and all that he had, Lot with him. How many of you remember who Lot was? Lot was Abraham's nephew. Because Lot's dad, Haran, right? And we like to remember his name, you know, for all you Star Wars buff, if you need a way to remember him, I call him Haran Solo, all right? Thank you, it's a cheesy joke, it's really bad, but I'm gonna go with it. I gotta wake you up somehow, even if it's with a bad joke, right? You know, and so Haran died, Lot's dad, and now Lot was then, you know, basically raised by Abraham, and Abraham was given oversight of Lot, and Lot was supposed to follow Abraham. Remember this? Yeah. You know? And so that's who he is. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, him and his nephew Lot, and they went back into the south. And it says, and Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And when he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place, look at verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord again. He got away from the altar and got to a place that he should not be. But aren't you glad that God allowed him to go back to that altar? I tell you, in 2026, go ahead, get back to the altar. Get back to church. Get back to serving God. Even if you missed it, even if you found yourself in places that you don't belong, even if you have failed and made mistakes, go back to the altar. The plan is still there waiting for you. Even though Abraham had messed up the plan, God is merciful. And as soon as Abraham came to himself and said, I'm not doing this. Get me out of Egypt. Get me back to the place where I was the most on fire for God. Amen. He got back and God said, okay, now the plan can resume. The good news is if you need to get back to the altar, the plan can resume. Just because you missed it doesn't mean you've missed it forever. Get back to the altar. Confess your mistake. Confess your sins. God will say, all right, resume the plan. Even if you took a hiatus. Isn't that a good word? Say that 100 times fast. No, probably shouldn't. Praise the Lord. Right? Even if you missed it, even if you walked away, you could come back to the altar right now. And as soon as Abraham came back to the altar, the plan started to pick right back up. Aren't you glad we serve a merciful God that will allow you to pick right back up on the plan? Aren't you glad? Listen, even Abraham, even the greatest man of faith, missed the plan of God for a little while, and he realized, I got to get back to the altar. Don't raise your hand, but I mean, I think a lot of us could say, we need to get back to the altar. I've had a lot of Christians tell me, you know, over the years, they say, you know what, Pastor, I'm just going to be honest. I remember a time when I was more on fire for God back than I am now. Well, then go back to that place. Do what you did. That's what Jesus told the Ephesian church over there in the first few verses of Revelation chapter 2. He says, go back and do the first works. Go back and do the first works. Amen. Fall in love with God again. Seek Him again. Pray again. Read your Bible again. Serve in your church again. Are you here today? Praise the Lord. And so now verse 5. We're going to start now. Are you ready? We're going to learn the lessons of Lot today. The lessons of Lot. And all of this is just kind of setting the stage. And now we're going to look at Abraham's nephew, Lot, who made some very key mistakes that brought him to the lowest points, really, any human being can go. And we're going to learn the lessons because it can happen to us if we're not careful. Go over to verse 5 now, Genesis 13, 5. And it says, and Lot also, the nephew of Abraham, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. They had so many animals, there was not enough land to take care of them all. All right? And so the land was burdened with all their substance, and they needed, obviously, a different plan here. Look at verse 7. And there, now here we go. I love verses 7 and 8. Everyone, pay attention to this. Watch Abraham's heart and see if you can see why God could use him so mightily. Is there anybody here that you want to be used by God? All right, 10 of you, praise the Lord. We're gonna do great and mighty things, amen. It says there was a strife. Watch Abraham's heart, there was strife. Everyone say strife. Strife. Or in other words, you could say it this way, drama. Here comes drama. Trying to infiltrate a covenant relationship, to infiltrate the plan of God, to disrupt, to try to let somebody, you know, to build somebody's ambitions for something else other than the plan of God. Here it comes. Here comes drama. See, when the devil cannot just outwardly destroy you, he can't. If the devil could just up and kill all of us, he would have done it by now. He can't just up and kill us. So he's got to be more subtle. And so he's got to very subtly start introducing drama, offense, strifing, fighting, differences, division. There was strife, drama between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Right when I read that verse, it should right up there, it should have been a non-issue. Who has the blessing? Abraham. Who had the voice of God? Abraham. Who did God deal with? Abraham. Who was anointed to lead that group? Abraham. Should have been a non-issue, right? But it says also that the Canaanite and the Perizzites were in the land. The Perizzites were there. All right. No, that's people. That was a group of people, not little bugs. I know it's spelled differently. The Canaanites and also the Perizzites dwelled in the land, so there was other people about. And look at verse 8. Here's Abraham's heart. Abraham, the man that God was using to bless all the families of the earth. Think about this. Abraham said to his nephew Lot, listen to the grace. Listen to this mercy. Abraham says, let there be no strife. Let there be no drama. Let there be no division. Let there be no attacks or anything like that. He says, I pray you. Isn't this amazing? Abraham could have gone to Lot and said, who do you think you are? God's talking to me. The blessing and the promise is with me. Abraham could have done this. Not the saying that we should. We should never do this. But Abraham could have pulled rank, is what I'm saying. Abraham could have pulled rank. But he says, no, I pray you, let's make sure that there's no drama or strife between me and you. Isn't that interesting? Because, see, obviously that strife that was happening out there in the field had now worked its way back into the home. And now there was strife and there was division that now was being a temptation for Abraham and Lot to be divided. Is everybody listening to this? Here we go. And it says, make sure that there's no drama between me and you and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For what? We are brothers. Do we have any brethren here today? Oh, this is why God could use Abraham so mightily. Because he understood that drama and strife was kryptonite to the plan of God and to covenant relationships. Oh, Christians, church family, amen, praise the Lord. Our extended family, our home families, praise God, let there be no strife. Because drama is coming to destroy the plan of God. And it's there to try to separate people who are supposed to be connected. Yeah. Folks, how many of you know that we all have people in our life that we are called to? Yes. You know, and I know when people hear this, they think, here he goes again. He's just trying to teach about everybody's got to follow that pastor or worship a pastor. That is not what I'm preaching here today. I'm here to tell you that it's in many aspects in life. Yes, you should know who your pastor is. You should know that. You should know the local church that God has called you to. I wish everybody was called here, but you know what? Not everybody is, you know? And we need to find one of the best choices I ever made in my life was to seek God, to hear the voice of God, find out where God wanted me in the body as it pleases him. And I got connected there 20-odd some years ago, and God has never told me to do anything different. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so being in the right place in the body of Christ is so essential. Yes, I know we all have leaders above us, but we also all have, you know, many of us have spouses or we have employers. We have people in places that God has divinely set us with, and we need to know that. See, Lot was divinely set with Abraham, so Lot's life would not get destroyed. Are you here? Praise the Lord. There's going to be people that are going to be joined to you, meaning that you play a role. You mentor them or you help them along in their life. Praise God. Every Christian is called to be an example. Amen. You're going to be set with a pastor. You're going to be set with an employer. And I tell you, what are you going to do when your employer doesn't do what you want them to do? You know, what are you going to do when your spouse doesn't do what you want to do? All right. You're going to honor them. Because you're not here to demand happiness out of your spouse. You're not here to demand happiness out of your employer. You're not here to demand happiness out of your church. You're there to demand holiness and honor. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, let there be no strife. Do you see why God could use him so mightily? No drama. No drama. This drama, Abraham wasn't creating this drama, but it was finding him. What do you do when drama comes to find you? Let there be no strife. Let there be no drama. I forgive you. It's all right. you know, not going to fight with you, because Abraham knew that the plan of God was bigger than what was happening out there in the herds. Amen. What are you going to do when something tries to come up and we think that we have to be technically right? Abraham could be used so mightily of God, not because Abraham was trying to win an argument. Abraham could have said, well, let's find out whose herdsman started it. Let's find out who's wrong. He said, no, let's just make sure there's no strife, because the goal isn't to find out who's technically right. The goal is to preserve the plan and the purposes of God. Are you here? Amen. Some of you are trying to win arguments in your marriage. No, the plan should be to preserve what's holy and godly. You know, some of you are trying to, you know, have your way and you know, demand certain things at work. No, the goal is to be honorable. The goal is to be honorable. Are you here? Well, that went over well. Say, Pastor, don't you know that this is America, and in America we hate our employers? Don't you know in America we should just demand, you know, what we want out of our employers? We get our way. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're taking a check from somebody and you're not honorable to them, God is not having that. Boy, that went over well. Welcome to the new year, everybody. Praise the Lord. Now, go down there. We're going to read verse 9, and it says this. Abraham speaking to Lot, he says, is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes when division shows up to you, sometimes when someone tries to kick up strife and drama, you just have to say, hey, I love you. I care about you, but I'm just stepping back. Because the damage and the fallout from drama is more hurtful than us trying to fight it out. Abraham said, no, go ahead, go do your thing. I pray you, go the other direction. He says, and Abraham is so gracious. Watch what he says to Lot. He says, if you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. But if you go to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Wow. Isn't that something? That's gracious, because Abraham knew. He's like, wherever I end up, I'm blessed by God. It's going to work. And now look at verse 10. Here we go. Lot lifted up his eyes. Lot beheld all the plain of Jordan. Remember the plain of Jordan? It was the most beautiful. And Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of that land, were there. Remember that? And it says, it was well watered everywhere. Notice the little pause in the midst of verse 10. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a beautiful place. Until God rained fire on it. What is going on here? Because of the strife and the drama, Lot is now going to separate himself from the one that God put him with. And Lot starts to look at what looks good for him when he doesn't even realize he's choosing the place that looks beautiful now, but destruction is about to rain on it. See, God's voice was saying, stay here, right? But what it looked like in the natural, it looks so good to him. Just because it looks good does not mean it is God. Are you here today? You got to hear God's voice. You got to seek him. You got to wait upon him. You got to go to that altar. Are you here? Isn't that something? And now it says, now we're going to read here in verses 10 and 11, Lot is now going to make the mistakes that are going to destroy his life and bring him to the lowest places any human being can really go. He looked with his own eyes. He looked at the plain of Jordan and all the water and the opportunity and all the prosperity that was there before the Lord destroyed it. Even it was like the garden of the Lord. It was like the land of Egypt as you come to Zoar. It was so beautiful. It was the choicest looking property, except it was the place that was closest to sin. See, something is always trying to seduce you away from the place that God put you. Something is always trying to seduce you away. There was no altar there in the Jordan Valley. The altar was over in Canaan. It's not the financial prosperity or the financial opportunities that's going to make your life. Where has God set your altar? Are you here today? Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was like the garden of the Lord. It looked good, but it wasn't God. Do you know how to know the difference? Look at verse 11, perhaps the greatest mistake that Lot made. It says, and Lot chose him. That's the King James. The modern Bible says, Lot chose for himself. That's what that means. Lot chose for himself the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed to the east, and they separated themselves the one from another. Think about this. Folks, let's talk about the lesson of destination. Did he end up in a good destination? No. Why? Because the starting point was what? Drama and offense. When you're going a direction that is a result of strife and drama, you do not ever end up somewhere good. If you're choosing, you know, an employer based on strife, if you're choosing, you know, relationships, you know, leaving a spouse, you know, because of strife and offense and going out and just trying to, you know, choose for yourself. You know, if you're leaving a church because of strife and offense, that's the wrong reason to ever leave. You know, if you're separating yourself from family, if you're separating yourself from other Christians because of strife and offense, I'm telling you, the destination cannot be right. Are you here today? Are you listening? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy because it's the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We better know where God has us. We better know who we're supposed to be with. Listen, there's going to be times in every relationship, whether it's your pastor, whether it's your spouse, whether it's, you know, your employer, whether it's your friends, whether it's your extended family, there's always going to be drama that tries to creep in. Tries to divide. We've got to be like Abraham. Let there be no strife. Right, and sometimes, like Abraham, if you have to just diplomatically and lovingly back away, because just trying to fight and win your argument is going to do more damage than it's worth. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's talk now about the mistakes that Lot made. Wow. Notice this. You know, it says that Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed to the east. They separated themselves one to another. Read verse 12. Let's just read this real quickly. And they dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he set up his tent towards Sodom. Wait, wasn't that the most wicked city of all? He just went there because there was opportunity there, not because that's where God had him. Isn't it amazing that Abraham let Lot choose? But yet Abraham still landed in the place of blessing. I'm here to tell you, those that will go to the altar, those that will hear God's voice, will consistently keep landing on their feet. Amen. You'll consistently land on your feet. It doesn't mean you won't be challenged. It doesn't mean that there won't be hardships. But if you'll consistently seek God at that altar, if you'll consistently obey God's word, you're going to land on your feet. You're going to land on your feet. Because not because, you know, you realize like you're not turning on people and getting offended and bickering about little points of doctrine and all this nonsense. We've got to be bigger than that. We've got to be better than that. Are you here? Sometimes you got to just say, I pray, I don't want any strife. Go do your thing. Praise the Lord. Are you here? Number one mistake. Now I'm going to show you the two mistakes that Lot made, and we're going to show you where it took him. Number one, mistake number one, Lot chose for himself. Go back up there to verse 11. Literally in a newer translation, it says, Lot chose for himself. The greatest threats to our life is our own decisions. When we choose for ourselves, you know, we choose the job that we want. We choose, you know, the church that we just want. You know, we choose, you know, the spouse that we just want. Have we gone before God? What did he choose for you? Who did he choose for you? Amen. You know, we make choices all the time. We just do what we want. But I'm here to tell you, if we're not seeking God, if we're not hearing his voice, we can make decisions that will have future ramifications. It will hurt people. It will cause yourself to be brought to a low place. And I'm here to tell you, if those decisions start in a place of offense and drama, the destination will never be right. The destination. How many times I've seen Christians over these last 20 years, they make all these decisions because they're ticked off at somebody. They're mad, so they're going to take their ball and go home. I'm here to tell you, the destination will never be right. The good news is that you can come back to the altar. Get it right, and the plan will resume. But if you're making decisions because you're mad, you're mad because you're dividing, and you're cutting all this and doing all this to hurt people, be careful. The destination can never be right. Wow, he chose for himself. Plan number one, you could say it this way, Lot made decisions based on his own ambition. Are you here? Everyone listen right now. These next few minutes will save your life. Are you ready? Ambition is simply this. It is your strong desire to accomplish something for yourself. In the world, ambition is usually lauded as a good thing. And of course, nobody should be lazy, right? But know this, in the world of God's world, in the realm of God, ambition is usually a counterfeit voice of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not careful, you can want something so bad. It can be your own desire, your own ambition, all right? And if you start making decisions out of your own ambition, it can absolutely hurt you. Oh, but Pastor, I'm going to do this. And how many Christians I've heard over the years, which how many of you know God can lead you to do these things? God can lead you to a business. God can lead you to the right spouse. God can lead you to an opportunity or the right church or investments of whatever it is, right? But so many times people will say, oh, my greatest desire, I'm going to build a business. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And the question is, did God tell you to do that? Because all of a sudden you realize they start putting all those things, their own hobbies, activities, sports, decision, future, all that stuff. And all of a sudden God's in none of it. All of a sudden that business is taking all your time and you stop serving God. Well, that business isn't a blessing anymore. It's an idol. All of a sudden we start pursuing these other things. Are you here today? See, we got to be very careful not to choose for ourselves. Just everything we're doing. Well, I'm going to start this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do that. I'm going to marry so-and-so. I'm going to have lots of money. I'm going to do all that. Be careful. That's your own ambition. And it can be the counterfeit voice of God. Because ambition will only decide what looks good. Ambition looks at what's good, not what's God. Ambition is by nature selfish. Of course. I tell you what, if it's in the heart of a high school student, go to college, I believe in education. Sometimes their heart could be in a vocational training or something. Follow God. Follow God. If we're not careful, ambition always wants notoriety for itself. I've seen this. Folks, this happens in ministry all the time, where people are trying to like affirm themselves or validate themselves through ministry. They want the title of it. They want the prestige of it. They think it's some kind of glamour. Let me tell you what, it is not glamour, all right? I've had people over the years here refuse to talk to me because I didn't hire them on staff. I've had people flip out on me, just go bonkers and all this stuff because I hired somebody else than them or whatever it is. I'm just here to tell you, ambition is ugly in the eyes of God. It's ugly. God isn't looking for ambition as much as he's looking for obedience and humility. Father, what do you want me to do? Lord, if you want me pastor in this church, here I am. If you want me sweeping the floors of this church, here I am. If you want me out scraping the ice off the front steps, here I am. If you want me emptying that dumpster out there, here I am. If you want me preaching the word, here I am. Amen. It's not about our ambition. It's about what God has for us. Amen. Mistake number one, Lot chose for himself. Notice this, Lot wasn't the one at the altar. Lot wasn't the one hearing God's voice. Lot didn't even take the time to ask Abraham what he thought. He never sought counsel. He never wanted to hear from God. And so when you start just being on your own plan, everything's going to look good to you. When I see somebody who has an ambition for ministry, I mark them. Watch out. That's trouble. It's humility is what promotes you. That's the same in a company or a business. Watch out for somebody who just has ambition. Yes, it's good to not be lazy, but watch out when they're just trying to feed that monster in their life. You do not go into ministry to validate yourself. You don't go. You do not try to get affirmed. So many times, you know, people with their own insecurities are seeking things, seeking some title, seeking some honor. Be careful. Those insecurities in your life can be a monster. Are you here? Oh, I've got to have this. It'll make me feel better. No, 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 no. You know, especially if it's ministry, and I don't know why I'm on this. Being in ministry is a place of terror. Let me explain what I mean. Terror before God if you're truly called. You do not want to mess it up. The Bible says that. James 3:1, and be not many teachers, knowing that we that teach the word of God will receive the greater condemnation if we mess it up. It's a holy terror to stand before God. You better do so, because woe if I don't. You know, if you can, I heard Pastor Scott Webb, he said this one time, it's so true, as far as being called to ministry, if you can do anything else, do that.
Do it, right, yes.
The only reason I'm here is because I can't do anything else.
Yes.
Good word. Amen. Praise the Lord. That'll save somebody's life, you know. But it also applies to other aspects in this life. Stop trying to hurt people to jump over them to get the job that they have.
Yeah.
God does not honor that. Stop slandering or gossiping, making someone else look bad so you can just make yourself look good. God sees that. See, that's that choosing for ourselves. That's the ugliness of ambition. Are you here? Here's the second mistake. Lot separated from Abraham. Or you could say it this way. He separated from the covenant relationship God called him to. Covenant relationships, everybody. Who are you in covenant with? There's multiple relationships. No church, no pastor should ever try to control your life. That does not happen here. You know, it's really interesting. You know, people ask me all the time, what do you do as a pastor? You know what? I can tell you in about 10 seconds. I can tell you what I do as a pastor. This is my whole life. Are you ready? I show up. I preach the word. I go home. I make sure that the lights stay on in the church and all the, you know, administration is handled. And then when people call me or set up appointments or send me messages, I respond and I try to help them. That's my whole life right there. That's my whole life as a pastor. I never, nobody in this room could ever say that I've called them up trying to tell them what to do in life. Like, oh, you shouldn't do this, and you should go there, and you should work there, and you shouldn't marry them, and you shouldn't be there. I've never done that.
No, no.
I've never done that. When people ask me, you know, for counsel or advice, there's times when, you know, I'll give them my counsel. But there's no way any pastor, you know, should ever try to control or lord over the flock of God, right? But wherever we're called to be, you want to be there. You know, yes, we have covenant relationships with our spouse. We have covenant relationships with our parents. Covenant relationships, yes, with our pastor. Yes, with our church family.
Yes.
Pastor Brad said something awesome during, you know, tithes and offerings, you know, over there. Where was that? Deuteronomy 14? Is that where we were in tithes and offerings? He says to tithe all the goodies of the land so that you may learn to have respect. Folks, we need, and I myself included, we need to constantly be respecting these relationships. Hallelujah. Mistake number two, Lot separated from Abraham. Who had been given oversight of Lot? Abraham. Who had been given the leading of the Lord? Abraham. Lot separated himself from covenant relationship, and here's the truth, it started all because of strife and drama out there in the herd. Lot should have just realized, wait a minute, my blessing isn't found in these animals. My blessing doesn't come from the herds. My blessing comes from this relationship. Are you here? My blessing doesn't come with, you know, who's right, who's wrong. My blessing comes from when I just don't cause strife. Oh boy. But he separated himself. His destination was never going to be right. He separated himself from covenant leadership. Wow. So what happens to Lot? I'm going to show you this, and we're going to end right here. Remember what happened to Lot? Boy, it did not. How did it go after he left Abraham? All of a sudden, he leaves Abraham. He goes into the valley that looks the most beautiful that you could ever possibly imagine. He thought everything was good. And then all of a sudden, things started to unravel. He didn't know the plan of God like Abraham did. Like, don't move in the direction that God's going to destroy. Listen, I'm here to tell you today, and this is what a lot of churches won't tell you, God is going to judge sin. He is going to judge sin. Don't move in that direction. You know? Boy, we say these things. You know, a drunkenness and alcohol, God's going to judge that. Perversion and sexual vice, I'm here to tell you, don't move in that direction because the fire is going to fall. Don't move in the direction of cheating or lying or gossip and all this stuff. God's going to judge that. I know it needs to be said in this generation. Homosexuality is going to be judged. Transgenderism is going to be judged. It's not because God hates anybody. He's desperately trying to save and restore. But if they don't turn on their sin and turn to Christ, they are going to be judged. Say, well, I know nice people. It's not about how nice you are. There's nice people going to hell every single day. Don't move in the direction that God's going to destroy. But that's exactly what Lot did. And it put everything at risk. So he remembered what happened. He moved into Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember the angels showed up at his door? And the gay men of the city were pounding at his door saying, hey, send those two guys out here. Remember that? So we can have our way with them. Remember this? And remember what Lot did? Lot said, hey, maybe I should toss my daughters out to them. See, all of a sudden, you get in the wrong place. Your mind gets in the wrong place. See, when you're not thinking right, it's going to take you to a destination you don't want to go. And Lot said, well, maybe I'll just send out my daughters to them. And the angels just smote those men with blindness. Remember that? And then what happened? Fire and brimstone started to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot was racing out of that place. And they were told not to look back, but his wife turned and looked back, and she what? Turned to a pillar of salt. That pillar of salt is still here to this day, according to the Jews in Israel. They have a place. You can go visit the pillar of salt. You know that? You can go find Lot's wife still there in that pillar of salt. And here it was. Lot now loses his wife. He is tempted to toss his daughter to men in the street. Remember this? He goes out. He loses everything. He has to go live in a cave. Remember? He loses his home. He loses the very herds that were the original problem and the strife. He lost it anyway. It would have been better just to give up a few animals to stay where God wants you to be. See, we're going to have to make sacrifices at times to stay where God wants us to be. You gotta make sacrifices in your marriage. You got to make sacrifices with your church. You got to make sacrifices at times to be a good employee. Are you here? Yes. See, our modern generation just wants everything so happy. Yeah. Well, I don't like my employer because he didn't make me happy today. I don't like my church. It didn't make me happy today. Well, I don't like my spouse. They haven't been good to me this week. Better be careful. Happiness is not the goal of God, meaning, you know, Christianity wasn't given to make us happy. Feel happy all the time. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Was that a cartoon from our childhood? Well, oh, not a good one. Oh, okay. We will strike it from the record. I don't. If you ever hear any, edgy media or pop culture references from me, it's because I'm very pop culture illiterate. So don't take them with any real seriousness. Don't hold me to it. Oh, boy. Watch where it takes Lot. Go to Genesis 19 and let's wrap it up right here. Genesis 19 and verse 30. So he leaves Sodom. The Jordan, isn't it amazing? The very place that Lot thought was going to be the greatest blessing for him ended up being the place where he lost it all. you know? That's what happens when we choose for ourselves. That's what happens when we separate and destroy covenant relationships. Are you here? Oh, praise the Lord. Folks, and I said this last week, I know I don't make you happy all the time. You know, that's not the role of a pastor. You know, I'm not here to, of course I want you to be happy, but of course there's times when I'm just not going to make you happy. And you know what? There's every once in a great while, the church doesn't make me feel happy. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because I've already made a decision that you and I are in a covenant relationship, and I can love you and honor you even if you don't make me feel happy for a little while. Maybe that's a little too brutally honest. I'll tell you what, your marriage would really prosper if you just be honest with each other. Sometimes if you think that your spouse is going to make you feel happy every day. Listen, I know there's times I don't make my wife feel happy, you know? And it's not my purpose or my cause or my desire, but it happens, sure. Right? Oh, praise the Lord. You married couples, you're looking very holy today. Watch what happens to Lot. He loses it all. Lot went up to Zoar. He dwelt in the mountain. He and his two daughters, he's now lost it all. He's lost all of his tents, all of his herds, all of his servants, all of his silver, all of his gold. He's lost his wife. See, we don't realize how we put our family in danger when we start choosing for ourselves. Men, that's on you and on me as a husband and a father. We need to make choices for our families that make sure that it's God's plan. We want our families to be blessed. Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. He had his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt where? In a cave. Living in the dirt in the side of a mountain filled with fear. He's afraid. He feels like he's going to die. And now he's living in the dirt. Why? Because he chose for himself. Sometimes we choose for ourselves wrong relationships. That's what he did. And it hurt him. He's living in the dirt, living in a cave. Look at this, verse 31. Look at this. It says, and the firstborn daughter said to the younger daughter, our father is old. Yep, Lot was getting older. And there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Uh-oh, this is bad. Yeah. Now, because Lot is in the wrong place, now generations after him aren't thinking right. Yeah. And they say, well, now we've been, you know, we followed our dad and we have nothing and our life is destroyed and we have no way of having children. Let's have a child with our father. And I'm going to spare you from reading the rest of it. But that's exactly what happens. The oldest daughter tricks the dad, gets him drunk, ends up, you know, bearing his child. Lot fathered his own grandsons. Because this is what happens. Your life gets brought very low. The destination was ugly because it all started back out there with drama and fighting and offense. When the origin, when the place of origin is the wrong place, the destination is going to be the wrong place. Are you getting a hold of that? And then the younger daughter did the same thing on a different night. She tricked her dad, got him drunk. Remember this? And Lot ended up fathering two grandsons with his own daughters in a cave in the dirt, living in fear. You cannot go as low as that. And now here's what we need to understand, the lessons of Lot. Those two grandsons, the sons that were born to his daughters because of his bad decisions, they became two men. Each of them founded their own nation. Remember this? And the one founded the nation of the Moabites. And the other one started the nation, the line of people that became the Ammonites. Right? What do you know about the Moabites and the Ammonites in the Bible? They hated Israel and tried to fight and destroy God's people. And if God's people of Israel would have been destroyed, there would have been no Jesus, no Savior. Do you see, when we choose for ourselves, it's not just ourselves that gets hurt. It could be our children that get hurt. future generations. There was now two men that raised up a group of people to hate what God was doing on this earth. Are you here? Wow. And so they went on to fight Israel, and there was a king that was raised up to fight and to have victory over the Moabites and the Ammonites. His name was King David. David, the greatest warrior king that Israel ever had, was the one that had the anointing to go and fight and to destroy. But for literally hundreds of years, the Ammonites and the Moabites fought against Israel and hated everything that God was doing. And it all started with Lot not putting away strife and drama. Instead, he allowed himself to be divided from his man of God, allowed himself to go out and choose for himself. Are you here?
Yes.
Folks, let's make sure in these last days, number one, don't be deceived. Two, don't be troubled. Three, right? Don't be offended. Four, don't betray one another. Remember, these are the words of Jesus in Matthew 20. He says, in the end days, you're going to see all this. Yeah, you're going to see nations rise against nations. You're going to see famines and earthquakes and all this stuff in the news. He said, but make sure you keep your heart clean. Don't be deceived. Don't turn from the truth of the word. Don't seek a more comfortable Christianity. Don't seek a seeker-sensitive cultural media Christianity, right? Don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. Don't be offended. Don't betray one another. And don't let your love for the things of God grow cold. Here, those words are still very pertinent every single day. In 2026, let go of the drama. Can I tell myself as we close? For the last several weeks, I would say probably 3-4 weeks, the Lord just keeps bringing up the verse in James. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger or wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. I tell you what, and I'm like, that's interesting. I was waking up in the morning and the Lord was speaking that verse to me. I was going throughout that day and the Lord was speaking that verse to me, you know? And I started to realize that the spiritual pressure that's going on just, you know, in society in general, you know, maybe you've experienced it personally or whatever. I started to realize that was, you know, a verse specifically that I was going to need to hold on to. I think I passed some tests, but I don't think I got an A+ on all of them. Have you ever been there before where you just feel like, all right, I made it through? But maybe I didn't get a 100 on the test. And that's all right if you don't get a 100. But we just got to be, you know, we got to realize, make sure that strife and drama does not guide your decisions in this life. Are you here today? Did you get something out of this here today? Let us pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. You are faithful and good. Lord, we see Lot's destination in life. Became very dark, very low, very destructive. Because he started down a path that was guided by strife and drama. If the origin of that path is the wrong place, if it's strife, if it's drama, if you're offended at somebody and you just go out and make all your decisions based on that. Let me put it this way. This is what I feel the Holy Ghost is saying to me right now. If your guide in life is disagreements, if you're making decisions and choosing a path because you're always in disagreement with somebody, your destination is not going to be the right place. Sometimes people just, they choose to disagree with you out of thin air. Remember Abraham, let there be no strife between me and you. Do what you gotta do. Do what you gotta do. Father, we understand and we see much of what we call spiritual warfare is just us making sure that we lay down the drama and strife. that we don't get pulled away and distracted, pulled away from the altar. And the good news is that, Father, if we've gone on a hiatus like Abraham, if we miss it, we can come back to the altar. We can come back and resume the plan. We can make it right. But Father, we just say in this brand new year, we're not going to allow strife. We're not going to allow drama. Father, we're going to keep going higher. We're going to keep going further. We're going to keep preaching your word. We're going to keep demonstrating respect in the house of God. Our goal, Father, is to preserve your will, your plan in this earth, not to win arguments. Father, you are so faithful and good. Thank you, Lord. Your word, your word. Your word grows mightily and prevails in this place, as it always has. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally committed your life to Christ? This is not a family church idea. This is the Bible. This is God reaching out to somebody who may not know him. God has salvation for you. He sent his son to this earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to that cross. He was crucified in an awful death upon that cross. 3 days later, he rose again. It was a sacrifice for my sin and for your sin. And the Bible now says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth, if you'll believe, if you'll speak that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so ask yourself that question, am I saved? Saved from my own sin? Saved from eternal punishment? Yes, I'm going to tell you the truth. There is a hell. Hell is real. Jesus said it is a place where the flame is never quenched and the torment never stops. But I've got good news. Jesus said there's a heaven. And he said, I go and prepare a place for you there, that wherever I am, you shall also be, if you will believe upon him. Ask yourself that question, am I saved? It's not about anybody else right now. You're just asking this between you and God. And if you're not sure, I'll tell you what, don't leave here today until you are sure. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to make anybody stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or make a spectacle of you. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to know that I'm saved. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm going to ask you to take a small step towards God and lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I will lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat between you and God, you can confess him as Lord and Savior. You can start a new life with him. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Could you just take that small step? You'll just hear me say, I see that hand. You'll hear me say, you can put it down. If that's you, can you just lift your hand for just a second, high enough so I can see it? Is there anyone? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. It takes courage to make that decision. Is there anybody else before we dismiss? Have you made Jesus your Lord? We've had several hands. It takes courage to say, Lord, here I am. It's not about me seeing you. It's about the Lord seeing you and hearing you and seeing your heart. I'm going to lead everybody in this prayer. If you lifted your hand, we're all going to be praying along with you. But pray these words. Speak them out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Speak them. Talk them to the Lord. Believe that he hears you. Be sincere about it. Let's all pray this together. Say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks, isn't it wonderful to start the brand new year off with what, three or four folks receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior? never forget. That is the highest and best blessing that we could ever experience in this place. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Folks, let's just go ahead. If we got to even say it by faith, is 2026 going to be the best year yet? Yes. Isn't it way better to say that than to say, oh, I dread this year and all that? Come on now. Let's give him praise and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we praise you today. We glorify you today. Father, you are holy and good. We say that your hand of blessing is upon each one. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.